Hello, it is Thursday, October 7th. I am Trent Reinsmith, and it is in time for another edition of the Come On Now MMA podcast. And here are the topics for today. Mackenzie Dern learns that sponsorship is not always a two-way street, even though it should be. The UFC rewards Aspen Ladd for missing weight, and that makes no sense. Bellator is having five-round main events, but are they paying the fighters for five rounds? Bare Knuckle FC does not answer my questions about added health and safety protocols. In fact, they just block me on Twitter. And I don't know, and if I believe Dana White's claims that the UFC spends $20 million a year on health and safety, but I'd sure like to see the breakdown of that number. And the closing out with the pick and prediction for the UFC Vegas 39 main event between Mackenzie Dern and Marina Rodriguez. Now on with the show. Talk about sponsorships a little bit here. Mackenzie Dern said that when she was pregnant that she lost a couple sponsors, and this bothers me. And I wish she would have named the sponsors that she lost so other fighters and maybe some fans could avoid those sponsors, because to me, a sponsor is not someone who's just there to use the fighter for, as a hired hand. A sponsor is not paying, you know, Shaq to read a commercial. A sponsor is supposed to be invested in that fighter, and the fighter in return is supposed to be invested in that sponsor. So it should be a two-way street. It should be give and take. The sponsor should be a fan and a supporter of that fighter, and the money that the sponsor provides that fighter should go towards helping them train, helping them get better. And then in return, the fighter is a pitch person for that sponsor. And that should be a 24/7, 365 deal. That should be a long-term deal. And I think the fighter and the product and the brand should go into that relationship with that in mind, that a sponsor would pull out of a deal with Mackenzie Dern or any fighter because if they're a woman, because they got pregnant, is kind of gross to me. It doesn't speak to a partnership. It doesn't speak to a brand that believes in that fighter. It speaks to a brand that is using that fighter's name recognition for themselves. And that's kind of the idea of what brands do in a capitalist economy and a capitalist culture. But that's not the idea of sponsorship. Sponsors should be all in. That these folks were not all in with Mackenzie Dern, I find offensive. And I think that she should say who they were, because revealing that will be good for other fighters. It will be good for fans and the general public who might be reluctant to use a product or a brand that's, you know, not just not good people. So I hope Dern speaks up on this. I'm glad that she made it a point to talk about that it happened, because it's ugly and it shouldn't be part of it, the whole sponsorship relationship. But it is, and it's another thing that fighters and fans have to realize, that even though a sponsor is supposed to be there for you to help you, some of them are just there to use you. And Mackenzie Dern found that out. Hopefully other fighters don't have to find that out. And I would encourage Dern to name names if for no other reason than to protect other fighters. Aspen Ladd is going to fight in a main event at 145 pounds 2 weeks. 2 weeks, I think, after she missed weight for 135 pounds. And I find this kind of slimy. And I don't blame Ladd for this, because she was given the opportunity to do so. I blame the UFC for giving her the opportunity to do so. So Ladd missed weight, and as a fallout from that, Macy Chazon did not want to fight her, and which is her contractual right. So I don't find Chazon at fault at all here. She did what she thought was best for her. But for the UFC to turn around a week after someone missed weight, cost Chazon a full fight camp, all the costs associated with that fight camp. Chazon went through the weight cut, made weight, cost her a payday. I'm assuming the UFC didn't answer me that if she was going to get paid. So if you don't answer me, I'm going to assume that she did not. Even if she did, I doubt that she got her either full pay or her full amount of show pay. Because we know UFC arbitrarily pays people when it wants to when someone misses weight or when fight falls apart after weigh-ins. So she cost Chazon all that money and then also cost the UFC some money because she was, I think, pretty high up on the card, or at least she was someone fans were expecting or hoping to see. And UFC turns around and rewards her with a main event. That doesn't sit well with me, and it shouldn't sit well with other fighters, and it shouldn't sit well with the fans. But again, this is another example of how the UFC does things arbitrarily and favors other fighters, favors some fighters over others, and just blatantly shows that it favors some fighters over others. And this is the case of that. Bellator announced that it's going to have all its main events for 5 rounds, and that's fine, I guess. I don't care either way. A fight's a fight. If it's going to be 5 rounds, it's going to be 5 rounds. Just let everyone know in advance. Where I do have a problem with is that, and I reached out to Bellator and asked them this and did not get a reply, which doesn't bode well. I would say, are they going to get paid? Or the fighter is going to get paid a premium to fight 5 rounds? Because now you're adding 10 minutes of fight time to their job, but you're also adding a lot more training, a lot more preparation, and time and energy. And on the end of it, you're also adding a lot more possible damage. And that should equate to increased pay. Will it? I don't know. Hopefully Bellator will answer me and they will say that yes, they are doing an increased pay for 5-round fights. If they're not, the fighters should just say, if it's not a title fight, you know, the fighter should say, no, I don't want to fight 5 rounds for the same pay I get for fighting 3 rounds. And if the Bellator comes around and says, well, it's a main event, so what? You're asking me to increase my fight time from 15 minutes to 25 minutes. And you're not going to compensate me for that? No, that's not how work works. If you increase my workload, my pay should increase as well. And Bellator really needs to fix that before they go ahead and just start making 5-round main events. Will that happen? I don't know. Speaking of not replying, so I reached out to Bare Knuckle FC to see if they were going to add any kind of safety and health measures to their events in the wake of the fighter dying after a knockout. And I did not get a reply. I did not get an acknowledgement. I reached out to the Montana Department of Licensing. Did not get a reply from them or an acknowledgement either. And what I did get from BKFC was blocked on Twitter, which leads me to believe that, one, I'm not going to get an answer. And two, they're not going to change anything. So, I mean, I'm just trying to do my job here. And I know this is going to turn into the media wants to shut us down. But that's not the case. The media, speaking for myself here, I want you to have safer fights, as safe as possible. We know this sport is not safe to begin with. So don't make it more dangerous than it needs to be. And I see this as, unless BKFC has a change of heart in the next 2 days, the fights are scheduled for October 9th, that this is going to go on and there's not going to be any kind of additional oversight, and there should be. To not add any kind of additional oversight or safety measures tells me that Bare Knuckle FC is just paying lip service to safety and it does not care one iota. If you have a fighter die after a fight, and you can tie it to that fight, and you do nothing about that, that tells me a lot more than any empty words you put out there on social media about how bad you feel. By not doing anything, you're telling me you don't care. And again, this isn't anything to do with a media member trying to shut down a promotion. This is more trying to hold a promotion accountable for health and safety in an unsafe sport. So I would say, you know, if you're a fan who feels strongly about this, if you're a media member who feels strongly about this, if you're an editor at a MMA website or sports website that feels strongly about this, you know, don't cover BKFC until they make improvements, and let them know you're not gonna watch their broadcasts, you're not gonna participate in promoting their broadcasts in the media until they show some type of improvement. Maybe that'll force them to do so. Bottom line is a hell of a driver to make changes. If BKFC sees a drop in its bottom line, maybe it'll make improvements to try and get fans back. That's one way people can voice their displeasure with BKFC seemingly doing nothing related to health and safety after the death of that fighter. Dana White, I think Dana White is using some hyperbole here and some smoke and mirrors as far as his talk on health and safety in the UFC. And here is where I have some problems. He said that every year we spend over $20 million on athlete medical, $20 million bucks a year, health, wellness, whatever it may be, 25% of our athletes, blah, 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 blah. So what I would ask the UFC to show here is, where does that $20 million go? Because we know the fighters pay for their own pre-fight medicals, and those medicals are not required by the UFC. They are required by the athletic commissions to license the fighters. Again, I think White here is taking credit for a lot of the things the athletic commissions do as well. So keep that in mind. And of that $20 million, does that include the cost to run the UFC PIs? It might. Does that include the cost the UFC pays in fighter insurance for fight-related injuries? Does that include the amount the UFC fighters file in insurance claims? There's a lot of wiggle room in that number, and unless you see an accounting of that number, I'm inclined to believe that White is taking credit for a lot of things that the UFC itself does not do or that are tangentially, you know what I'm trying to say, related to the to health and safety. I mean, Dana White's a promoter. We know what promoters do, and he is going to take credit for some things, I'm sure, that aren't related to the UFC. In fact, you can see it here in his spiel, where he says they do extensive pre-post-fight medicals. The UFC doesn't do those pre-fight medicals. Those are required by the athletic commissions. If they were not required, would the UFC do those pre-fight medicals, post-fight medicals? I don't know. The answer is probably no. Because remember, as much as Dana White wants to say that the UFC ran towards regulation, when the pandemic hit, the UFC sprinted away from regulation and tried to hold a fight card where the California State Athletic Commission would not be the overseeing body. So you can't pick and choose when you say you ran towards regulation. I think a lot of what Dana White is taking credit for here is not related to the UFC. I think a lot of it is related to the athletic commissions. And I would ask White, does the UFC do the same amount of quote-unquote testing in California, which has very stringent licensing requirements, as it does in Florida, which has very few licensing requirements? And again, if the UFC is going to say it ran towards regulation, why did it run towards a state like Florida or a state like Texas, who are known for the least amount of regulation when the pandemic hit? You don't get to pick and choose. Again, you don't get to pick and choose when running towards regulation suits you. And I think that's what White's doing here. Does the UFC do a decent job with health and safety? I guess. But again, I think most of what the UFC does related to health and safety, especially pre-fight and post-fight, is related to the athletic commissions and not to the UFC. And if White says otherwise, I would ask him to prove what it does outside, above and beyond what the requirements are from the athletic commissions. Because I don't think it's there. I don't think the UFC does anything above and beyond what is required by the athletic commissions. I would love to be proved wrong. I would invite Dana White to prove me wrong, and I will say I'm wrong. But is that going to happen? I don't know. Let's talk about Saturday's fight card. In the main event, Mackenzie Dern against Marina Rodriguez. Dern is the number 5 ranked fighter in the UFC women's strawweight rankings. Rodriguez is ranked number 6. Dern's on a 4-fight winning streak, which began in May 2020. She's earned 3 performance of the night bonuses. Each of those bonuses came after Dern scored a submission, first round submission, and she's coming off an April armbar submission over Nina Nunes, formerly Nina Ansaroff. Rodriguez, two fight winning streak. Most recently, she's had a May decision win over Michelle Waterson in a 5-round main event matchup. The odds opened with Dern at minus 185 and Rodriguez at plus 160. Dern is currently at minus 170, Rodriguez at plus 138. And here's the tale of the tape. Dern is 28, Rodriguez 34. Dern 11-1, Rodriguez 14-1-2. No knockouts for Dern, 6 knockouts for Rodriguez, 7 submission wins for Dern, 1 for Rodriguez, 4 decisions for Dern, and 7 for Rodriguez. Dern is 5'4", Rodriguez 5'6". Both fighters are probably going to come in at right around 115. Reach, Dern is 63. Marina Rodriguez has 2-inch advantage. Both fighters fight orthodox. Significant strikes landed per minute. No surprise that Rodriguez is higher than Dern. Dern is at 3.64, Dern at 4.89. Accuracy, 38% on the striking for Dern, 48% for Rodriguez. Strikes absorbed per minute, Dern at 3.57, Rodriguez at 3.24. So she has a good striking differential there. 1.6 to the positive. Dern's is almost even. Striking defense, Dern at 61%, Rodriguez at 51%. Takedowns, Dern at 0.51 for 15 minutes, Rodriguez at 0.28. Takedown accuracy, Dern at 10%, Rodriguez at 33%. Takedown defense, 0 for Dern, because why would she not want to get to the mat? And Rodriguez had a good 62%. Submission average per 15 minutes, no surprise that Dern is 2.3 and Rodriguez 0.1. So the tail of tape tells you pretty clearly what these women like to do and how they like to fight. Dern wants to get the fight to the mat. Rodriguez wants to keep it standing. I like this matchup a lot because it has implications in the strawweight division, maybe title fight implications, at least maybe 1 or 2 fights away from title fight, but still they are there. It'll give us a good view of just how much Dern's striking has improved. We know it's improved. It's gotten exponentially better, but now she's up against a very good striker, one that's not going to be afraid to pressure her. And I want to see what Dern does in that case. It'll give a good indication of just where everyone stands. Rodriguez opened up her UFC run at 2-1-2 and turned things around in her last 2 fights. The knockout win over Amanda Ribas put her on the map. The decision win over Michelle Waterson just added to her allure. Dern came to the UFC as a reputation as a dangerous grappler, lived up to that reputation right away, but she's no longer just that one-trick pony. She has improved her striking to where she's now comfortable. I wouldn't say that she's going to be abandoning her grappling. That would be silly, but she's not going to shy away from the striking battles. In this fight, I think she might want to shy away from the striking battles. Striking is what gives Rodriguez a chance here. She's a live underdog because of her striking. So there's a chance here that there could be an upset. I would not be shocked at all if Rodriguez scores a knockout. I just wouldn't. Just because Dern's somewhat sloppy in her striking, and she can... And I think now that she's gotten comfortable, she might be getting to the point of comfort into cockiness, which is always a sure way to get knocked out. So we'll see how that plays out. While I think Rodriguez has a chance and that she's a live dog, I don't think she'll get the win. I think Dern's grappling is just too strong, and she has, with the fight start on the feet, she has a lot of chances to get to the takedowns. And if she can tire Rodriguez out, I think she has even more chances to get to the takedowns. And if she gets knocked down, I think she is still aware enough to go for a submission, use her grappling defensively once she gets hit. So I just think there's more upside on Dern's grappling than there is on Rodriguez's striking. Again, I don't think I'll be surprised if Rodriguez wins, but I'm going to lean Dern for the submission win. And that's my pick for the main event for Saturday's UFC fight card in Vegas, UFC Vegas 39, I believe. I think it should be fun. I think it should be entertaining. There's a chance Rodriguez will win by knockout, but I'm going to say Dern by submission. And that's a wrap on this one. I'll be back after the fights on Saturday or Sunday. Until then, stay safe.